This evening we shall look again at the prophet Jeremiah. Pick it up, chapter 42. Before we consider an incident that took place in the life of the prophet and the life of the people, again let us pray and ask God to help us as we grapple with His truth. So let us pray. Our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, we acknowledge You to be our great shepherd, the one who loves His sheep. You do love us, and You care for us, and You know what each one of us needs to hear this evening, so that we might be presently blessed, so that we might be equipped for the days before us. And so we ask that You would take Your truth, and as only You can, distribute it to the hearts and the minds of Your sheep. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. Do endorsements mean anything to you? Do endorsements have any influence upon you? Endorsements. Something endorsed by a very popular athlete, a movie star, a politician, as regards a particular product, as regards a service, as regards a person. Do endorsements have an influence upon you? Some people say, yes, they do. Others say, nah, endorsements don't affect me. And of course, we're heading into a general election, and the endorsements for the politicians, the candidates have already started. So-and-so endorses this one, so-and-so endorses that one, so-and-so endorses this particular bill, others endorse the other bill. Endorsements. People seek them. And I guess if we're honest, we like endorsements, don't we, personally? For example, if we are facing a particular situation and we need to make a decision and we grapple with it and we make that decision and then we go and we talk to a friend and we say, you know, I'm facing this and I'm thinking about doing thus and thus, but you know, I'd really like your honest opinion. I want you really to feel free just to criticize any way you think best. Do we really mean that? Do we really want it to be criticized? Do we really want our decision to be torn apart? Deep down, no, we don't. We want an endorsement. We want the person to agree with us. And most of us here, we know someone, a person or two, that they are grappling with something and they make a decision and they come to us and they say, you know, I'd like your opinion. And we know they really don't. They don't want our opinion. Their mind's already made up. They simply want us to agree with them. They simply want our endorsement of what they have decided to do. Well, tonight we look at the professing people of God. And they go before the prophet and they say to the prophet, we want you to go before God and we want to know what God would have us to do. And whatever God says He wants us to do, we are going to do it. But if you look carefully, it seems like their mind's already made up. They really don't care what God says. They've already made their decision. They simply went to God in hopes of getting His endorsement. His okay. So you see what you think as we read a section here. And so I'm going to read down through chapters 42 and part of 43. Now all the captains of the forces, Johanan the son of Kareah, Jezaniah the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people, from the least to the greatest, came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, please, let our petition be acceptable to you, and pray for us to the Lord your God. For all this remnant, since we are left but a few of many, as you can see, that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing we should do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard. Indeed, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall be that whatever the Lord answers you, I will declare to you, I will keep nothing back from you. So they said to Jeremiah, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. If we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sends us by you, whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Then he called Johanan the son of Kareah, all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him, if you will still remain in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, I will plant and not pluck you up, for I relent concerning the disaster that I have brought upon you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, says the Lord. For I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. And I will show you mercy, that he may have mercy on you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, disobeying the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor be hungry for bread, and there we will dwell. Then hear now the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter Egypt and to go to dwell there, then it shall be that the sword which you fear shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. The famine which you are afraid shall follow you close after you are there in Egypt, and there you shall die. So shall it be with all the men who set their faces to go to Egypt to dwell there. They shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the disaster that I will bring upon them. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so will my fury be poured out on you when you enter Egypt, and you shall be an oath, an astonishment, a curse, and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. The Lord has said concerning you, O remnant of Judah, do not go to Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For you were hypocrites in your hearts when you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray for us to the Lord our God, and according to all the Lord your God says, so declare it to us, and we will do it. And I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God or anything which he has sent you by me. Now therefore know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence in the place where you desire to go to dwell. Now it happened, when Jeremiah had stopped speaking to all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them all these words, that Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men spoke, saying to Jeremiah, you speak falsely. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, do not go to Egypt to dwell there. But Baruch the son of Neriah has sent you against us to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they may put us to death or carry us away captive to Babylon. So Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces and all the people would not obey the voice of the Lord to remain in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah who had returned to dwell in the land of Judah from all nations where they had been driven, men, women, children, the king's daughters, and every person whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, the prophet, and Baruch the son of Neriah. So they went to the land of Egypt, for they did not obey the voice of the Lord, and they went as far as Tahpenes. That's our reading of Scripture for this evening. Well, as we go back and look over this section and try to get some lessons that might be helpful for us where we live nowadays, let us first of all think about this fact that guidance is requested. Guidance requested. And so we have these people who come before the prophet Jeremiah. What's the background to their coming? Well, you remember last time we looked at this section, we considered that there was this man, Ishmael. And he was sent by the king from Ammon, and he was going to kill the appointed man, the ruler, Gedaliah, who had been appointed as governor by Nebuchadnezzar. And exactly why he wanted to kill Gedaliah, we are not told clearly in the Scripture. But sometimes we just have to admit that we don't understand why sinners do certain things. Sinners just do weird things, things that make no sense, things we don't understand. And last time we brought in this fact of J.T. Reddy and what he did, the four people he murdered, killed him. Why? Did it make any sense? What sinners do a lot of times, it just doesn't make any sense. And we can even reflect upon ourselves, some of the things we have done. Does it make any sense? Or you remember the psalmist said in Psalm 19, who can understand the error of his ways? And so sinners do crazy things. And so here's this Ishmael. And so he kills Gedaliah. We don't really know why exactly. What was his motive? Was he jealous? Was he in? Did he want to take over? And so he heads for Ammon, but Johanan and his forces catch up with him, and he's afraid, and he and a few men run for their lives. And so we pick it up about here in verse 16 of chapter 41. Then Johanan, the son of Kare, and all the captains of the forces with him took from Mizpah all the rest of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, after he had murdered Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the mighty men of war, and the women, and the children, and the eunuchs whom he had brought back from Gibeon. And they departed and dwelt in the habitat of Kemam, which is near Bethlehem, as they went on their way to Egypt, because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, because the Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had murdered Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had made governor in the land. And so here's the remaining remnant, and they're heading toward Egypt. But they'll stop at a certain place. Jeremiah the prophet is there. And so they address him. What kind of people are in front of Jeremiah? What kind of people have gathered together? A people full of fear. They're scared to death. They're full of anxiety. And what happens when you're afraid? When you're afraid of a particular person, a particular situation, what do? Most naturally, you run. You want to get away. And so they know that Nebuchadnezzar, who appointed Gedaliah, isn't going to let this pass. He's going to take revenge whenever any people destroy one of his appointed men. And so they never thought about the fact maybe we could explain to him, we didn't do it, this Ishmael did it, who was sent by the king of Ammon. No, we just got to get away. We'll be killed. Vengeance will be taken. But wait a minute, we'll go to the prophet. We'll stop and ask him. And so you notice what they do. They have this guidance. They request guidance here. And so they go to Jeremiah, and he says, please, let our petition be accepted. Pray to the Lord your God. And so with that phrase, the Lord your God, they know that Jeremiah, he's an authentic spokesman for the Lord. He's a genuine prophet. He's always been faithful to the Lord. And we can't make much out of it. He says, your God, as if he wasn't their God, because later on in verse 6, they bring out the fact, our God will listen to the voice of our God, but they want Jeremiah to go. And in using this phrase, they're indicating, you are a genuine prophet. You are able to get an audience with God. You go to him. Whatever he reveals to you, we're going to do it. And so you notice the words that are used. We will be faithful, whether it's pleasing or displeasing. In other words, whether it agrees with us, whether our flesh likes it or not, we'll obey the voice of the Lord our God. Now, aren't those good words? Aren't those very pious words? And on the surface, they're great words. But we found out later on, the problem with these words, they come from people who have no faith. And so we see we can learn that hypocrites can use very pious language. Hypocrites, they know the right words. Hypocrites, they say very good things. Hypocrites, they say very biblical things. But the hypocrite has no faith. And so here we have these hypocrites. They go to the prophet, and they ask the prophet to go to God. And they say, whatever God says, we are going to do it. But what God reveals, as we will see, is contrary to their desires. And they react. And I would imagine most of us here, when we've gone to God about particular matters, have we not said, O Lord God, I want to do your will. And whatever I find in your word that I understand to be your will for me to do at this particular time, O Lord God, I'll do it. But how do you react when that word is contrary to your desires? That word is awfully, awfully hard on your flesh. You really don't want to do it. An illustration can be that you've really sinned against a brother, and it's a known sin. And the Word of God says you go to him and you make things right. No! You said you wanted to do the will of the Lord. There's the will of the Lord. You do it. But you see, true faith, though it may stumble and though it may grapple with what God says, true faith will render obedience. The hypocrite, he will not. With all his pious speech and all the correct language he knows how to do, he does not render obedience to God. I mean, it's a good thing they came and they wanted guidance and they requested it. But they didn't heed the guidance. And so in the second place, we look at our passage. And you notice that we have here the guidance revealed. And this takes place in verses 7 through verse 22. And you notice what it said, it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. 10 days pass. And I would imagine, and of course I have to be careful with my imagination, I know, but I would just imagine that every day, more than once a day, some of the people, especially those leaders, would come to Jeremiah. Has God said anything? Has he said anything? Has he said anything yet? Have you heard anything from the Lord yet? Perhaps you know how it is. Someone's supposed to call you about something. And you want, when are they going to call? When I pick up the phone. Is it working? Yeah, okay. You say, when? When? And here we're told what? 10 days. 10 days. And faith is being tested. 10 days. These people, they had something to think about. They could think about what they were planning. They could think about their desires. Maybe they could think about the fact that again and again God had said to the people, you don't go down to Egypt. You don't go down to Egypt. So they had time to think. Then the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah reveals this word to the people. And when we boil it all down, it comes to this. God says to the people, stay in the land. Don't go running. You stay right there in the land. And God comforts them. God gives them instructions. I know you're afraid of the king of Babylon. I know you're afraid of him. But I'm telling you, don't be afraid of him. I'm going to show you mercy, and in turn, this king will show you some mercy too. And then he also tells them, look, I am with you. I am with you. Don't run. I'm going to show you some mercy. But the people will not have it. They'll not have it. They've made up their minds. We are going to go to Egypt. Why? Well, because they reason there we'll be safe. We can't stay here. We can't trust what God has to say. And you know, we've seen what the Chaldeans have done. All we have to do is look around our land, and what do we have? We have burning remains. We have rubble. And they'll come in here and they'll slaughter us or take us captive. We can't trust this word. We'll go down to Egypt. There, you see, we'll be saved. We'll get away from the sound of war, get away from the sword, get away from pestilence, get away from famine. We'll be okay. But God says, no, you won't. No, you won't. For I will bring my judgments to bear upon you even while you are in Egypt. And we know historically that happened. The Chaldeans invade. And so the point to think about is this. No one gets away from the judgments of God. No sinner gets away from the judgments of God. Oh, from our point of view, he may get away from some temporary judgments in this life, but not in the life to come. No sinner gets away from the judgments of God. We'll escape the judgments of God, leastwise that penal judgment, because Christ took our place. As the children of God, we'll experience chastisement, some very severe chastisement, but no penal judgment. These people are going to receive it. They can run all they want. And you notice how the Lord picks it up. He says, you hypocrites. You were hypocrites in your heart when you sent Jeremiah to me. You see, our God is the God who sees the heart. You and I cannot see the heart. And sometimes it's a puzzle to us, isn't it? We know people, and they seem to be such nice people and good people, and they say the right things. But yet, such severe judgments come upon them. How is that? We look at their lives and they seem all right to us. God knows the heart. God knows the heart. He knows what goes on in the heart of a man. And it can be horrible, murderous, adulterous things, rebellion in his heart, while his words sound very nice. God is the God who judges the heart. And so here, God knows what's going on in the hearts of these people. And my judgments will overtake you. And so here it is revealed. But they rebel against it. And then in the third place, you notice this guidance is just flat out rejected. And this brings us into the 43rd chapter and the early verses. Now it happened, when Jeremiah had stopped speaking to all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, all these words, that Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men spoke, saying to Jeremiah, you speak falsely. My, what a reversal. They start off, they more or less acknowledge, you speak to your God, you're a true prophet, but now because he didn't say what they wanted to hear, there is a false prophet, he doesn't speak the truth. And you notice who resists him? Proud men. Arrogant men. Who resists and who rejects the word of God? Proud men. Proud men. Men who know better. Men who are able to set over the word of God and criticize it. Who are able to determine what may be right and what may be wrong. Proud men resist God's word. They resist the Almighty God. And if you stop and think about it, there was a time when we were like that. Proud men. Carnal-minded men and women. And we resisted God's word. We would not bow down to it. And apart from the work of God's grace in our lives, we never would. But he has a way of taking away that pride, doesn't he? You get a little picture of it when you look at the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What happens? God humbles a man. He humbles him. Takes away that pride. And then it speaks about, blessed are they who mourn. And so the Lord so works that a man gets concerned about his sin. And his sin upsets him. And he hates it. And he mourns about it. And then it says, blessed are the meek. And that word meek carries the thought of submission. In fact, many believe it's a word that was used when you tame a horse. You domesticate him. He would obey the bit and the bridle. And so the meek man is one who submits himself to God, very willing to give himself to God. And then the next one says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst. And so that's what God does to a man. He breaks down that pride. He takes away that stubbornness, that haughtiness that sets itself up over God's truth. He gets concerned about his sin. He wants to submit, and he wants to be righteous. God did that to us, but God did not do it to these men. They are proud. They accuse the prophet of being a false prophet, and they say somehow they bring in Baruch here. Well, it was all his idea, Jeremiah. You never got this from the Lord. Why they did that, I simply do not know. And so they pack up their bags and they're going to head down to Egypt and they're on their way. And you notice what they do. They take Jeremiah and Baruch. Why would they take Jeremiah? Well, my only guess is they took him along as something like a good luck charm. You know, if we got him, maybe the Lord won't bother us just like people. And I know there's various reasons. They wear their little crosses and all this and stuff and somehow think that I'd give them protection or help them. And so they take along this prophet. Maybe God would be easy on us if we have him with us. And you remember many, many years earlier, that Jeremiah was showed a vision, two baskets of figs, some very good figs and some very bad figs. In fact, they were so bad, there's just no way they could be saved or be useful. It represented the people. Good figs are going to go to Babylon. The bad figs, they'll head down to Egypt and they'll be destroyed. And so here we have the bad figs. So bad, nothing, absolutely nothing can be done for them. And you notice that last little statement that comes out. They just would not obey the voice. The voice of the Lord that came through Jeremiah. And so we need to determine we're going to be a people who obey the voice. And you know, I'm not speaking about any kind of audible voice. I'm speaking about that voice that has been recorded permanently here in the Holy Scriptures. From these people who would not heed the voice, they only get trouble. Blessings come to us when we heed the voice, when we heed this word of God. May the Lord grant us grace to do so. Well, in light of what we have thought about for a while, let us now turn to hymn number 574. 574. By God's grace, we sing this sincerely. Please stand.